Blog Talk Radio.
Green, welcome to Good evening, welcome to Joy of the Lord. This is Wednesday, May 31st, and again, we're going to be studying Matthew. We're going to be finishing Matthew, I'm quite certain, Matthew 24, and I lost my notes. I have them here somewhere. Anyway, and if we get through tonight, if we make it all the way through Matthew 24, then we will begin it. We will be starting in spiritual warfare. We'll start in spiritual warfare. I think we will probably get it started tonight, but we'll just see those. Father, we bless your name, we praise your name, and we thank you so much for everything that you do for us as we go through our week, as we go through our lives, and then come back here with you. We are so thankful for all that you do for us, and so thankful that you give us the ability through the spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit gives us to have ministries such as this, where we can reach out and help each other, where we can not only edify the church, but we can also give the gospel out to whoever will listen, to whoever the Holy Spirit is convicting of their need for you. We just pray, Lord, that whoever you bring this way would hear the words that you have for them specifically, and that they would be convicted of their need for you, that they would be convicted of whatever specifically you have to bring to their hearts, and that it would be a blessing to them throughout the whole week and further on throughout their lives. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right, and we are beginning today. Oh, yes, we'll definitely finish. We're beginning today in verse 36 of Matthew 24. And as I said, we will certainly, I say this and then, you know, God wants to take me another way. But I would be almost certain that we would finish tonight and then also begin in spiritual warfare. And if we do start spiritual warfare, it's just going to be sort of an introduction to it tonight, and then we'll really get into it next week. All right, so we're going to start again here in verse 36 of Matthew 24. So let's begin reading there. But of that day and hour, no one knows. No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, this has been the cause for much speculation. You know, how can possibly the Father know, but the Holy Spirit doesn't know, and Christ doesn't know while he's on earth? And, you know, since we don't really completely understand the Trinity while we're here on earth, we don't have complete understanding of that. But when he was here on earth, right, he was in a human body. Now, so I can understand him saying that he has given up that knowledge for now. What I can't understand is how the Holy Spirit doesn't know. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But, you know, if I was supposed to understand it, then the information would be in Scripture. It's not in Scripture. So evidently, it's not given for us to understand that right now. So my answer to that is this. Evidently, it's none of your business right now. It just isn't. You know, when people ask these kind of questions, well, why this? How do you explain that? We don't know, but God says it. Some things you just have to accept on faith. You just have to say, this is what Scripture says, and that's it. Have you seen God in person at this point in your life? No. But you've read the Bible. You know what God does for you. You see the earth and everything around you that he's made. You see yourself, right, which he has made. Stop questioning every jot and tittle of the Bible and saying, well, how can you explain this? How can you explain that? I don't know. I don't know everything. There are some things you're just expected to take on as faith, just like you're supposed to take on faith that God exists and that he is the one that has made this earth. He is the one that made you, and that he is the one that does miracles in your life. He's the one that saved you. I mean, if you can't believe these things on faith, how do you believe in him? How did you accept Christ as your Savior? Stop questioning so much. There's so much that you've already believed by faith. I mean, he says so. So my only response to that is believe what he says. It's in Scripture. There's so much there in his word that is verifiable, right? I mean, you're already given so much by the world trying to trip you up, right? Satan comes at you. You have friends and relatives and, you know, supposed friends, right, that are coming at you trying to make you lose your faith. Why are you trying to make yourself lose your own faith? I don't understand this. I do get that, you know, sometimes, you know, the enemy will put these little doubts in your head, but you're not supposed to then say, oh, yeah, I agree, Satan. Why? No. What you're supposed to do is, and we'll be getting into this in spiritual warfare instead, but what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to rebuke him and say, Satan, stop trying to put doubt in my head. I don't belong to you. Go away and leave me alone. And then don't talk to him. Don't argue with him. And certainly don't argue with Scripture. Give it to God. All right? That's what it says. But of that day and hour, no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Does Christ know now that he's up in heaven with the Father? I imagine, but do I know? I don't know. It's not up to me to know. Maybe someday I'll ask him if he eventually knows. I don't know. Probably by the time I'm in heaven, that's going to be the last thing on my mind. Oh, by the way, in between the day that you were crucified and the day you came back, did you ever find that out, Lord? I doubt I'm going to be asking him that question. I think that's going to be the last thing on my mind. I'm pretty sure that when I see him face to face, all I'm going to be able to think about doing for a long, long time is just worshiping him. Maybe that's what we should just start doing now, with questioning Scripture. Just worship him. Be in awe of who he is. Be in awe of the fact that he went to the cross and suffered and died for you. this is, you know, one little verse that says, well, you know, maybe for a time or maybe for a long time. You didn't. You put that aside. Who knows? Who really cares? I mean, why does it make a difference? Really. Acts 1:7. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. See, God said, it's just for me to know. That's really him saying what I just said. It's not your business. It's not for you to know. So stop worrying about it. Stop trying to prophesy the exact time. How many people in the last, I'm just going to say, maybe 50 years before that, I'm not sure. I'm sure there were a lot more. But how many people just in the last 50 years have said, oh, it's going to be on this date. Oh, it's going to be on that date. Well, the Mayan calendar says, well, Nostradamus said, I don't care. They're not God, and they don't know. And every one of them, every one of those people that has tried to put a specific date on it has been proved wrong. And I'll tell you something. I don't know what day he's coming back, but I'll guarantee you it's not going to be the day that any so-called prophet claims it to be. So if a whole lot of people are saying it's going to be on January 1st of 2025, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be on January 1st of 2025. He will make it on January 2nd just to prove them wrong. See what I'm saying? These false prophets are not going to be right. They're just not. It's not going to happen. So stop trying to put a date on God. Stop trying to put God in a box and make him fit your beliefs. God is not going to let you put him into what you think he should be. God is who he is. Isn't that what he says? I am what I am. Right? I am that I am. Okay, let's go to verse 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, I had to go back and look this up, and I'm going to go back and read it, because there's something that I was told by the church that was a great big lie. Now, your church might never have said this. Not saying they did. I'm telling you it's what my church told me. Okay? Yours might have said this, or yours growing up might have said this, or you might have heard these rumors, or blah, 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 whatever. Okay? I just know that this is what I was told. And I think that it might even be in some, like, little kids' books, you know, and stuff like that as well, like little kid Bibles. But I was told that after God told Noah that he went out and he started, you know, getting together the stuff to build the ark and da-da-da, you know, et cetera, and that he tried to tell other people, okay, that he tried to tell other people on earth, hey, this is what I'm doing. You guys better get ready too. because they're coming. The Bible doesn't say that. It says that this is what I was told, that after Noah was told by God to build the ark, that after that, Noah went around and tried to tell people, hey, you need to check this out, and that they then mocked him and stuff. I can't find that anywhere in Scripture, and I've looked, okay? I've looked. So Genesis 6:17, let's go there first. And behold, I myself am bringing the flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, which is also what I just read in Matthew 24. Everything. It doesn't say here all flesh except that which decides to change its mind because it found out that I have decided to destroy all the earth because they're all evil except for you. It doesn't say that. All flesh in which is the breath of life. And it's talking about all the animals. I've heard that, oh, by the way, there were some that, you know, that made it. Nope, doesn't say that. All flesh in which is the breath of life and everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will, now, we're not talking fish, right? Because they're in the water, right? Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your son's wife is with you. It does not say, and anyone else that you can convince. Doesn't say that. Right? Doesn't say that. All right, let's go to chapter 7, verse 4. After 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. All living things. There's nowhere that it says that Noah went out and talked to people. Next verse, verse 5, and Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. That's it. There's nothing. Nothing. And I read all there through Genesis, the whole thing. You can go back and look that all up for yourself if you want to. I'm not going to go back and read all through Genesis 6 and 7. It's there for you to read. The Berean. Okay? You don't have to take my word for it. You can go back and read it for yourself. I'm just reading what it says that he did, but you can certainly read all of chapter 6 and 7. He did not go out after he was told that he was going to destroy all the earth. So at the end, at the very end, Christ is going to come back, and that's the end. That's it. There's no second chance. There's no rapture. And then a second chance. This is going to happen just like he's saying here. As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be boom. That's it. No second chances after he comes back. As the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Once once he comes, there are no more chances. It's over with. It's done. And this is where we're at right here in verse 36. See, remember, the Son of Man comes in verse, or Christ comes back. But in verse 30, that's where we are. We're at the end of the tribulation. We're at the end. We come all the way through. And now he's talking like in parables. He's explaining everything that he's talked about there at the end. He's like, okay, I just told you about his coming. Now I'm explaining this to you. I want you to get it. I want you to understand what I just told you. Why do you think he did that? Now this is going to be just a smidge of opinion here. Look at everything that's going on right now. We've got people saying, well, the rapture is going to be before the Great Tribulation. The rapture is going to be at the end of the tribulation. The rapture is going to be mid-tribulation. There is nothing in Matthew 24, this whole timeline, that even hints at the rapture, if you will. And by the way, that word rapture is not in Scripture as that word rapture, but it comes from, if I remember right, a Greek word, which is raptizo, I think that's how it's pronounced. And it means a gathering up or taking away, all right? So that is right at this end. It's this gather together. I would have to look that up, but I think it's that gather together in verse 31. But that is what that is. And that's at the end. And you are more than welcome to call me at 319-527-6208. If you call in at the beginning of next week, that's going to be, June 6th, I think. If you call in next week and you want to say, I disagree with what you said last week, June 7th, and you want to say, I disagree with what you said last week. That's impossible. We can discuss it. But as you can see, it is impossible for it to have been at the beginning or the mid. It is at the end. It's at the end. Study it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go back and read all the way through Matthew 24 from verse 1. In fact, I would advise you to start right at the beginning. Yeah, right at the beginning of verse 24. You don't even have to go into chapter 23. Start at the beginning of 24 and read all the way to the end. In the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be no more chances. Verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that he entered the ark. Boom. That was it. Then came judgment. Noah was, and his people, Noah and his family, the chosen people, right? The saved people, the people of God were taken away, right? The door was closed up. They were protected. They were shut away. They were gathered up, if you will. And then what happened? Until the day that Noah entered the ark, verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. It is going to hit them like a ton of bricks. Because what is going to happen? They are going to see, just like we said back in verse 30, they will see the Son of Man appearing in the heavens. He will appear in the clouds. And we're going to be gone. And they're going to see that happen. They're going to see this happen. Glory to God. You hear about them saying every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We don't know. It doesn't say when that's going to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's right then. It wouldn't surprise me if it happens at that point where they're like, oh, they're so stunned. But it's too late. It's too late. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Verse 40. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. See, all the movies, all the books, all this stuff, giving you this idea that people are sleeping and they wake up and, oh, their clothes and their glasses and the books they were reading are there. Where did they go? They just disappeared. We don't know what happened. They're going to know what happened. They're going to watch it happen. They're going to see that person disappear right next to them, right before their eyes. They're going to see him coming. They're going to hear that trumpet. If we have some crazy idea that we're not going to see all this happening, we're in for a very rude awakening, people. We're going to know. And we're going to see it. And if you don't know right now, right this moment, that you know him, if you aren't 100% sure that you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you, pause this video, get down on your knees, repent of your sins, and accept him as your Lord and Savior because of his sacrifice, his bloody sacrifice on a cross for you, the pain that he suffered, that he went through, just so you could live for eternity. You better know for sure. This isn't a guessing game, folks. This is real. The Great Tribulation could start tomorrow. Now, I don't think so. I think we've got a few more things that have to happen, but we're on the precipice here. We are so close. There's so little that really needs to happen. We are so close that if the Antichrist was to announce himself next week, I wouldn't really be surprised. Start watching. Start looking. Because it's going to happen. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened soon. I have to be careful. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened soon. Things are getting way out of hand to the point where, I mean, even countries, you know, people in countries, in other countries are looking and saying, what is going on? I mean, and I thought that it was only the USA that had it so bad. And then I saw a video the other day of all this, like the rioting and the people, you know, the trans people and this kind of thing, blocking the streets, you know, and this kind of stuff. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Here's another, you know, USA, you know, problem again. But it wasn't here. This one was in, I don't even know what country. I didn't recognize the language. But this is not just here. This is going on elsewhere as well. And we have to really be watchful. We have to not be accepting, you know, of this garbage. We are allowing it in our churches, people. What's going on? Right? What is going on that we are allowing this in our churches? And what we're doing is we're sitting back and we're saying, well, you know, God is love. God is love. So, you know, we just really need to, we just really need to make sure that we just love everyone. Oh, you know, we can't be judging people. What I'm saying is, don't allow your family, don't allow your family to be tied up in this kind of mess. Don't allow Satan to have strongholds in your family. Right? That's not the kind of thing that we want to allow in our families. Don't allow your kids, don't allow your kids to be going to school and you not knowing what's happening at your school, because it's coming. See, and I'm sort of tying this together with what's going to be coming here. We're going into spiritual warfare. And I say I'm tying it together, but I'm telling you, people, and this is something that, you know, Carl has said in the past, and he's so right, every single verse of Scripture is all tied to each other in some way. It really is. You can tie every verse of Scripture to salvation and every verse of Scripture to spiritual warfare in some way. He said this to me one time, and he's right. It all ties together. It really does. All right, let's go. Where are we at here? Verse 40. Start in verse 40, and we're going to read through 44. Then two men will be in the field. One will be one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Now listen, it says you don't know what hour. Now, let's just say, for instance, remember I said that, you know, the tribulation could start next week. And this has been one of the things that, like, the pre-trib rapture and mid-trib rapture, people have said, like, well, especially the pre-trib, they say, well, it has to be at the beginning. Because if it isn't, if it's at the end, we're going to know when the rapture is going to come. We're going to know when the Lord's going to come, because we'll know when the tribulation is going to start. Well, I can fix that one right now. I can get rid of that problem right now. So let's say that the Antichrist that we find out who he is a week from Tuesday. Let's just say it's, you know, June 6th, 2023. But we don't really know. None of us will ever really know the exact time he comes on the scene. I mean, we don't really know when he really gets his hands in the cookie jar, right? When things really start with him. And we definitely are not going to know the hour. And we don't really have an understanding of God's time clock, right? And that's one thing he says here in verse 42. Watch, therefore, you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So, it also will say, some of them say you don't know what day, but doesn't really matter, because the point is, no matter when there is a broadcast or an announcement or whatever, we don't really know all the details, do we? I mean, look at All right. I'm having some technical difficulties here. I hope you can hear me. All right. If I have some more issues, I'll have to switch my my audio over. Okay. So we don't know. Even here in the United States, things will happen where, something happens at the White House, and 3 days later, we hear about it, right? So we don't know what time for sure things happen. We don't know what time for sure anything happens. We don't know what day a lot of stuff happens. Nobody's going to know. And God can do things in his will, however he wants them done. So for us to, kind of get up on our high horse and say, well, we know this is going to happen because if it doesn't, then this and stop trying to put God in a box. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. We don't know anything. Let me tell you something. The more you study scripture, I can say this because I know, because I've in the last 6 years or so, I have found out just how little I know about God's word. Not because I haven't studied it, but because I have. And let me tell you something. I have studied this book a lot. I'm 63 years old, and I've studied it a lot in the last 53 years. I learned to read when I was about 4, but I didn't really start reading scripture, I guess, until I was about 6 or 7. But, in all those years, I've read the Bible a lot. But the difference is that I asked the Holy Spirit to help me, to teach me, which is something I strongly advise all of you listening to do. Ask for his help. Ask him to teach you as you read. And the more you do that, the more you ask him to be your teacher, the more you will see how little you knew. And the more you open up to his will and his teaching, the more he will teach you. But I am saying, listen, go back through this. I'm saying this every week. Go back through it. Read it. Ask him to show you. You do not know when he is coming back. We have no idea the day, the hour. Even if you think that you could figure out right down to the minute when the Antichrist comes on the scene, you're going to have it wrong. I'm telling you, you'll have it wrong. And I tell you something else. If you think that you have it down to, thank you, Lord. If you think you have it down to the moment and you're going to go spread it to everybody else, that you've got it figured out, he's not going to let you stay on this earth. I guarantee you he will allow them to come get you and take you out of here. That's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to prophesy the end to anyone. He's just not going to let that happen. He's not going to allow this word in his book to be called a lie. He's not. All right. Let's go to, let's see here. Let's go to Luke 17. And we're going to go to verse 34. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. I'm just going to say here, he's not talking about homosexuality. This used to be quite common, and still, occasionally this will happen where, I know some guys would be like, oh, I would never do that. Listen, sometimes you don't have a choice, right? And it can be you know, cousins, or, you know, there are some countries where they don't even see this as a big deal. It's just, oh, this just is happening because, so, you know, don't look at this and think, oh, he's talking about, oh, it's, no, he's not. That's what it is. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken and the other left. He's talking here about the same thing, obviously. All right. And let's see. I like to use, whenever possible, I like to use enough scripture to say, listen, the same thing is said over and over again. Matthew 25:13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You think that he's telling you this, and then he's going to go back on what is written in his word? You know neither the day nor the hour. He's not telling you this so that you can then later say, I know, I know. No, you don't. I guarantee you. I don't care what you think you know. You don't know anything. You don't. All right. Let's see. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. That's why. All right. Luke 12:37-40. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. What are we watching for? Not the coming of the Antichrist. What are we watching for? We're watching for the return of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be watching for. We're not supposed to be saying, okay, I need to watch for when the Antichrist comes so that I can try to figure out what day Christ is going to return. Nope, that's not your job. Your job is to give the gospel to all the world and watch for the return of Christ. Continue. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Christ is going to serve up. That's what it says. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Doesn't say watch the Antichrist. Watch for Christ. Watch for him. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Stay with me. I go through my chatter card here. Okay. Chapter 5, verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes on them. On them. Those who aren't watching. Those who are not expecting him. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. So that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We are supposed to be watching for him. Period. Watching for Christ. Verses 45-50. See, and we're almost through. We're almost through here, and we are going to begin. We're going to begin spiritual warfare this evening. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he's not aware of. and will cut them in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What's he saying? He's saying we're supposed to keep our eyes on Christ, not sit here thinking, "I can take my time. I don't have to worry about him coming. After all, he's been talking, everybody's been talking about Christ coming back for 2,000 years now." I actually saw somebody say this the other day. "You guys have been talking about this for so long, this is never going to happen. Your God is not going to come back again. This is going to happen." Right? Have you heard this? Have you heard this from people? "This will never happen. Come on. Come on, people." You know, I believe, my opinion, I believe that God allowed it to take this long just for this reason. Well, two reasons. Number one, he really wanted, you know, to save as many people as possible, but he also only wanted the real believers. It has to be those who truly believe in him. Truly believe in him. Aren't just kind of going, "Eh." But then again, I guess, you know, he knows their heart anyway, so does it really matter? We don't have to worry about that, right? He's going to know who they are. So let's go here to 2 Peter 3. Knowing this first, what we just read, that scoffers will come in the last day, walking according to their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget." Willingly forget. These people aren't just kind of going, "Oh, I forgot about that." No, they're walking away purposely. They're going, "Uh-uh, I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. Don't bother me with it. Don't come at me with your God nonsense." That's what they're saying. Aren't they? That's what I have heard, and worse, and much, much worse. "For this they willfully forget that by the word of God," now, the word of God, yes, but by his very word coming out of his mouth, and I don't know if he actually had to speak it out loud or if it was, who knows, you know, if it was just a thought in his mind. "But by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished." Well, that's another whole study. All right. "That then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which now exist are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day." Okay. We're going to stop there for just a moment, because this is one of the most overused and perversed Bibles. I said one of, not the, but one of. Because this verse is used to try to prove that the world was not made in seven, earth was not made in 7 days. Well, not made in 7 days. I'm going to prove that wrong right now. He's talking here about why he has allowed us to stay here so long in as perverse as we have become I mean, look around us, and people are saying, man, I mean, why would God allow all this evil in the world? This is what they say, right? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does God allow, well, first of all, we're not good people. So let's just flash that right out of the sentence right there. So let's just make it, why do bad things happen? Okay? And at least I can attack that as an honest question, an acceptable question, all right? And the reason is, bad things happen because of sin in the world, right? Okay, so the reason that we're still here, and the reason that he says, do not forget that this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Let's go to the next sentence here. What does he say? The next verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Wait. What promise? What promise? Oh yeah. The promise in verse 3 and 4. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? The promise of his coming. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That promise that he's going to come again. Yeah, that promise. See, that's what he's referring to down here in 8 and 9. He's not talking about creation. He's talking about his coming back again. He's saying, don't forget, he's patient. He's ever patient. And he's going to give all the time that he needs to for people to come to him. That's what he's talking about here. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise of his coming, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he's waiting for. That's why he's so patient in verse 8. He's much more patient than we are. Can you imagine us? Can you imagine God saying, okay, I'll tell you what. All you have to do is just sit here and wait a day. Just wait a day for your next door neighbor to accept Christ. Just wait one day. And then Christ will come back for you. And so we sit down. Okay, I can wait for them for a day. But what he really meant was, I want you to sit there for 1,000 years. If that's as long as it takes for your neighbor to get saved. And we just look at him like, 1,000 years? I'm not going to just sit here for 1,000 years. And he says, yeah, but that's how patient I am. I know you're not that patient, but that's the kind of patience I have. That's my long-suffering. That's my patience. That's my love. I don't want anyone to perish that doesn't absolutely have to. I want people to turn to me. I want to wait as long as I possibly can. That's what that verse is referring to. He wants to wait. He's giving them all the time he possibly can, knowing how bad we're going to get. Look around us. We're a mess. We're a wreck. We're destroying his world. His creation, we're destroying it. Both sides. So don't get yourself all up, saying, oh, well, I know, right? The left is just making a mess. Are they? Because let me tell you something. We aren't any better. We're not. And I could probably spend a couple hours explaining that one, but we're going to just continue. Because I could tell you how bad we are. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct with godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Now, how do we hasten the coming of the day of God? How is that possible? By giving the gospel to every single person. Because that's what he's waiting for, right? Verse 9. Now, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what he's waiting for. That's all we're waiting for the gospel to keep going out and going out and going out. Hasten the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, how can we be without spot and blameless? There's only one way, and it has nothing to do with works. There's only one way for us to be in holy conduct and godliness. That's by being in Christ and walking in the Spirit. Not by us through our own self-righteousness doing anything. This is it. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Yes, his suffering, right? His patience. He, our salvation is in him. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. Oh, I want to stop right there for just a moment and just say, this is Peter writing this. And there are those who would say that Peter and Paul, not Mary, Peter and Paul, that when Paul went to him in Galatians, and told him, listen, he needed to straighten up and fly right, that there was this break between them that was never fixed. So let's read this verse here again. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. His beloved brother. I just want to emphasize that for those who might be listening, who want to debate Paul. That's a lie of the devil. A lie of the enemy. I said it, and I stand by it. All right, let's move on. All right. Speaking them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Okay, as also in all his epistles, Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, right, which we just spoke of in back in Matthew, and Paul has also spoken of many of these things, right? And he says the same thing that Paul has said, that there are heretics, there are false prophets, false teachers who want to twist the things that Paul has written in his epistles, but they twist them to their own destruction. But I just want to grab, we may not get into, Lord, it's all up to you. We may not get back into spiritual warfare. I guess we'll see. But he's in charge, not me. So let's go to Galatians 1. I just want to emphasize this little twisting of scriptures to their own destruction. So let's just go to Galatians 1, verse 6 through 9, and prove that that is to their own destruction. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, what does that do to them when they pervert the gospel of Christ? But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Cursed, anathema, sent to hell, damned. Is that a curse word? Well, I guess it is, right? It's accursed. It's cursed by God. Not cursed by me. Cursed by God. As we have said before, so now I say again, he's repeating himself. This is how important this is. He's repeating himself in the very next verse. As we have said before, so now I say again. In other words, if you didn't get it the first time, listen closer. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Yes, you can fall. You can be led away from Christ. And then finally he says, but grow in grace. The grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, not just Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord and Savior of the world. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And amen. Yes. You know, it is so important that I really think that it's important that we share this with each other and realize that when he comes back, we will see him. We're going to see him. There will not be any doubt at his return. So when things start to happen, when people start to come back and say, Or when people start to say, I am the Christ, when people start to say, I saw the Messiah came back. Oh, there was the rapture, and this person and that person is gone. Don't believe it. Don't believe any of the garbage that people are trying to say. Or when the Antichrist is truly here, when all these things start to happen, and a pastor or anyone says, well, that's not possible. I know I'm saved, and I'm still here. It's not possible. It can't be. And it's okay for you to take that chip or to take that whatever, right? It's okay for you to do that because it can't be the Antichrist. That's impossible. It can't be the bark. We haven't been raptured yet. Believe it. Don't fall to the deceit and lies of the enemy. Because what's going to happen is, once you say, oh, yes, once you're not going to get three chances like Peter did. Remember Peter denying him three times? No, you get one. One chance. You deny him, you're done. You're done. You deny Christ at the end here, you're done. Because they're going to slap that on you. I don't know how that's going to work, right? But they're going to ask you, deny Christ. Deny Christ. And then we'll let you go free. But if you don't deny him, you know, what are they going to do? Put you in concentration camps, shoot you, whatever. We don't know, right? I wouldn't take that chance. Remember, he who denies him, he will deny. I wouldn't take that chance. All right, we have about 20 minutes here. And in this next 20 minutes, we are going to, if I can get to that page here. I actually have some notes because this is not a book study. In other words, I'm not studying Matthew chapter 24. This is going to be a very in-depth study on spiritual warfare. Don't know how long it's going to take. Just like with anything else, this is going to be all up to him. All up to God. And we'll just see how it goes. So we're going to start with a little introduction today, okay? And because I didn't do this yet, I just want to make a little note here. We are on spiritual warfare. Introduction. Just making sure we are all set so when people pull this up, they'll also know that this is included. All right, so who are we fighting against? Right? Who are we fighting against? Well, you know, in this country, in the United States, I see mostly that the church And it's true that we are, to an extent, right? We have this fight against, you know, all the problems around us. We want to protect our kids. We want to protect our family. We want to protect ourselves. And so in doing so, we want to make sure that our kids are protected against, you know, abortion activists, right? Not anti-abortion activists, but abortion activists. And you know, the transgender stuff that is eating away at our children in schools, right? And online, and the pornography, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, let's face it. We know that with a click, it's not quite as bad as it was originally. I remember 10, 15 years ago, I could click on the wrong thing, and my goodness, I would have 10 or 15 pop-ups in front of me of all kinds of garbage that not only did I not want to see, but, you know, my kids could be sitting on the couch behind me while I was on the computer, and I'm, like, trying to click all the little X's, you know, and get it off my screen. It's like, I mean, I don't know how old some of you are that, you know, and if you've gone through some of this as well, but this was a real problem. This was before you had the ability on your browser to, like, get rid of pop-ups and, you know, all that kind of thing. It might be a little more than 10 years ago, but it was really bad. I'm going to say, like, in the early 2000s, late 1990s. I've been online since online was a thing. All right. So, like, Windows 3.5 or Windows whatever. It was early, all right? So, I mean, I don't know if all of you remember, but I had the, you know, with the modem, you know, hooking up and everything. So, you know, it's not quite as bad as it was, but it's still very easy for kids to get into the wrong stuff, right? It's everywhere. So, yeah, we're fighting that stuff, but God is a constant reminder to us that what we're really fighting is, well, let's pull it up, shall we? Ephesians 6. Yeah, most of you probably know where I'm headed. So, oops, went too far. Not Philippians. Ephesians 6. Let's start in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, so that's who we're fighting. He's like the main character, right? We're fighting the devil. All right, who else are we fighting? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not who we're really fighting, right? They're just pawns, aren't they? I mean, the people that are trans, the people who are gay, the people who are pro-abortion, the people who are in the pornography industry, the people who are, you know, and the sex stuff isn't even all of it. There's all this stuff out here. I'll get the abortion. That's another thing. But, you know, that seems to be like the worst. But there's a lot of other garbage out there, isn't there? It's not just sex stuff. And there's the trafficking as well, which is, you know, also in the sex industry. But there's a lot of garbage out there. There's just junk that we want to keep our kids away from. There's alcohol. There's drugs. There's all this stuff that we want to protect our kids from. All right? But the people doing this, why are they doing it? Well, it's because they're not saved. They don't know Christ. It's not them. It's who is in them. I mean, these people, all they are is you without Christ. Consider that for a moment. All they are is you without Christ. They are who you would have been if you hadn't accepted Christ. It's very likely they're who you were 10, 20, 30 years ago, whatever. It's who I was. Maybe I have more compassion, empathy, whatever, because I know that's who I was. You know? I don't know. But I know that I was. That's who I was. I was, you know, one of those people. I mean, not all of those people, but I was an unsaved person. And therefore, I was run by the powers. Let's go into it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That was me. Was it you? It was. Before you were saved, that was you. And think about that. Because it was you. We have to admit that to ourselves in one way or another. Even if you weren't possessed, you were at the very least oppressed, which means you had one or more of these things working through you in one way or another. So we must realize that. We have to look at that and say, These people, all they are is flesh and bones and blood that have evil spirits, these demons working through them instead of the Holy Spirit working through them. And we have the opportunity to do God's work, to let Him work through us, which is what we're supposed to be doing, to fight this, to bring glory to God by telling these people, like someone told us, about His wonder, His grace, His mercy, and therefore have them be one last person filled with the powers and the rulers of darkness and the principalities and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Don't you want that? Don't you want one less flesh and blood person filled with all this to fight against? I do. It says that we aren't really fighting these people. And yet that's what we do constantly, don't we? Don't we fight them? We fight them. That doesn't mean that we don't tell them. It means we aren't out there rioting in the streets like they do. It means we're not out there making fools of ourselves, screaming and shouting. Let me tell you one of the best things I ever saw on video that showed the difference. I saw an abortion clinic with two groups of people. One was screaming and hollering. I mean, just throwing a big old fit outside the abortion clinic, right? About, you know, you killers and murderers and stuff. And they are. I won't deny that they are murderers. They are killers. But down the ways a little bit, there were just a couple of people. And what they were doing was walking up to women gently and quietly and saying, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. Do you understand what you're about to do? Can I just talk to you just for a minute? Will you just give me just a couple of minutes? I promise I'm not gonna yell at you. I'm not gonna say anything nasty to you. I just want to talk to you for a moment. Can I just talk to you just a minute? And then talking to them about their baby in a gentle, loving way, and telling them about the Lord and about how God made that baby and how they have options, and they could actually keep that child and raise it and love it, or they could give it to a wonderful parent, set of parents who would love it and bring it up as their own. Now, which group do you think made an impact? Because let me tell you something. Loving someone into the fold, loving someone into the church, is what Satan hates. Satan hates God's love. Hates it. That makes him furious. He loves to get us all riled up and angry and mad and just, he loves that. He loves to just make us mad. And don't you think he just was laughing at that? See, all these people out here screaming and yelling, and all that did was bring the workers out of this Planned Parenthood place, this abortion clinic. It brought them out and and got them to come to these people's cars and whisk them away and had them yelling back. What did that accomplish? It didn't accomplish anything. Do you honestly think that Christ would have yelled at these women? Or would he have said, or would he have picked up a rock and said, let him who is without sin throw the first stone? Which one? These are young girls. Some of them not so young, but who have made dumb mistakes. And they're trying to find a way out of it. Some of them may not be mistakes. I mean, listen, I know people who have had multiple abortions. I'm not saying that that's okay. They still need Christ. They still need Christ. And no amount of screaming is going to change it. And the same thing goes for anyone else. I have spoken to gays who have been saved. I have seen videos of young girls, young men who had gone through trans surgery and then accepted Christ afterwards and realized what foolish things they've done. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not fighting these people. We're fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It doesn't tell us to take up our sword, our physical sword, and our guns. It says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. God's armor is not a gun. Am I? Don't hear what I didn't say. As Carl Hoffman says, don't hear what I didn't say. I did not tell you to go turn your gun into the government. Nothing wrong with having a gun to protect yourself if that's what you, believe in. You want to protect your family with it, by all means. I'm not waxing political here about whether you should have a gun or whether you should. That's not my business. I don't care what you do in that. That's not my business. Not at all. I'm not going to tell you whether I have one or not. That's not your business. I'm telling you that when it comes to those kind of things, we are not to take up guns, we're not to take up pipe bombs, we're not to take up whatever. That's not how we fight this. We are to cast out demons. We're to pray. We are to do whatever God tells us to do to handle it. And we will be getting into that over the next whatever. I don't know. I don't know how long we will be doing this. Again, that is up to God. I have here, my goodness. Like 16 points, alphabet points, just in the first, number one point, and all I got was to A today. That's all I did. And I didn't even finish it. So I'm just saying, we're going to be here a while. So if spiritual warfare is your thing, if you're really, really interested in it, you're going to enjoy this for a little while. And it's not going to be just, okay, this is what we do to, you know, just fight demons or whatever. Oh, no. I have a feeling that this is going to be a very interesting study. I'm looking forward to where the Lord takes us. I hope you are too. On that note, I'm actually going to quit right here because that's what God's telling me to do. We have like 3 minutes left, and I'm going to pray because God says we're done for tonight. So I listen to him. I'm not going to say more words for the sake of saying more words. Okay. Father, we thank you so much for this study. You not only, I'm sure, have enlightened others, but you have enlightened me. And I appreciate your love, your mercy, and your Holy Spirit who gives me the words to say and the verses to go to, because without him, I would be nothing. And my cat who's meowing, I don't know if you can hear him. He thinks I should be done too. We love you, Lord, and we just ask you to bless us as we go throughout the week, to give us people to minister to, those who are hurting and who need you. I ask you, Lord, that you would give each and every person that listens to this, each and every person, someone to give the gospel to this week. Give them the opportunity to give the gospel to someone and show them who that person is, so that we can see more people come to know you. In our son's most holy name we pray. Amen. We'll see you next week. Bye now.